Welcome to On Spec, where you'll hear stories that bring you closer to the globe. I'm your host, Fariba Nawa. We interrupted our season zero to do COVID-19 coverage. On Spec will show how people across the continent struggling with the pandemic are having shared experiences, and what those experiences mean in the way that we think of our relationship to others. In this episode, journalist Margot Benn and On Spec intern Manel Roche will take you to Canada, the US, Tunisia, Lebanon, and Cyprus. They're going to tell us how the pandemic is changing our social life and habits.
What a strange thing to wrap our heads around, that one illness is essentially affecting all 7-odd billion of us on the planet. Whether we're on lockdown, under quarantine, battling coronavirus, or know someone who caught the disease, we're sharing common experiences and struggles. Around the world, governments have been imposing more or less strict lockdowns to prevent the virus from spreading, and many of us are stuck in our homes. Social interactions, which we used to take for granted, meeting people in person, looking into someone's eyes, greeting each other with handshakes, hugs, or kisses, are now dangerous and illegal. How are you all coping with this lack of social interaction and physical contact? Manel and I asked 5 very different people about how they're approaching being alone.
Hey lady, how are you? I'm, you know, wanting to check in and see how things are across.
Bianca Oran is a good friend of mine. She's a 39-year-old woman who works in the nonprofit sector in Ottawa, Canada, but she's spending the lockdown with her family in a small town in southern Ontario.
We basically go back and forth between my mom's house and my sister's house, and we do that because all of us have been in isolation together. So Canada is similar to a lot of the other countries where we're all physical, social distancing, work is closed, and everyone's working remotely. So we're all in this together.
Bianca recently lost her father, so spending all this unexpected time together is actually proving to be very meaningful for her and her family.
I'm spending a lot of time with my sister's boys. It's been really great. One is 7 years old, one is turning 12 in May, and one is just turned 13. And just between losing my dad, their grandfather, who they were very close with, and then us being in isolation, social distancing, we've all been spending way more time than we ever have, at least for me, because I live in another city. So it's been really special. One of them will stay the night at my mom's and keep us company, and they kind of switch off every night, and it's really sweet. They like being here.
Is it good now?
Almost. I'll do it now for a minute. Do you like cinnamon?
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna put cinnamon in it too.
Where's cinnamon?
It's above here, so you're
with my 7-year-old nephew. He and I we made breakfast this morning, and he seems to be getting even more attached to me. With the older ones, we have different conversations about what's going on, what do they think about what's going on, and because my father passed away not even 3 weeks ago, we talk about my dad a lot, and they will say things that they miss about him, and then we'll share some stories. And I can see that it's really special for my mom to hear them say these little stories out of nowhere every now and then.
But Bianca's also a very social person. She's outgoing and fun and cares deeply about her friends. Like millions of other people around the globe these past weeks, she downloaded the House Party app, which allows groups of friends to gather in virtual party rooms where they play games and quizzes while video chatting.
Hi guys, cheers!
Cheers.
Bianca's been using the app regularly with different groups of friends.
When my friends and I got together last night, there was our group of Friday night crew, mix of guys and girls. And we usually would be together every single Friday night because my friend owns a dojo. So the boys do jiu-jitsu, they teach their classes, and then my girlfriend Saul and I, we go after and we do kickboxing, and then we all go back to Saul and her husband Dwayne's house for drinks. And it's really fun. We always sit around the table, have drinks, and joke nonstop and laugh and tell stories. And when it's nice out, they have a massive backyard, so we have a bonfire and invite the neighbors. It's really fun, and I think we're all missing that connection. So last night was the first time I've seen a lot of that group since the social distancing was enacted here in Ontario and in Canada. So that was really nice to see their faces.
Off-road rally truck?
Across the Atlantic, in Lebanon, Haytham also uses social media to keep in touch with his loved ones from an apartment in central Beirut where he lives with his wife and 11-year-old daughter. Haytham's also 39. He's Lebanese and works as a civil engineer. Here's a voice note he sent us via WhatsApp.
Definitely there is a difference between seeing someone as there is affection. You can read people better. Untold cues that can be done in a usual conversation. However, I don't think this condition has changed a lot of our current socializing status. We've been living in something like that for a while without really realizing, as our busy lives doesn't allow that much for lots of interaction. However, it has been online mainly. I have lots of friends who live abroad, very little friends who live in Lebanon, and we interact and we have been interacting over social media platforms mainly. So it hasn't been that much different, quarantine or no quarantine. And this has practically increased, and we interact a bit more, talking more, sending jokes, sending videos, sending information, updating ourselves about what's happening about the virus, updating regarding the escalating numbers, the measures, the vaccination. You know, we try to interact with material that helps us maybe try to have control over the situation and try to distract ourselves from actually staying at home and not being at work.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but I completely relate to what Haytham brought up. I'm French and Canadian, but for more than a decade I've been living abroad, more recently between Afghanistan, where I'm based as a journalist, and Cyprus, where I used to work and where my partner still lives. And I often find that I don't keep in touch with my faraway friends as often as I'd like. It's not that I don't mean to. I think of my friends and family all the time. The heated debates in Parisian cafes, dancing in bars, and picnicking in public parks. Hanging out in the cobbled streets of Toulouse with my high school crew. Whenever I see something which I know would make a particular person smile or laugh or cringe, I vow to remember the scene and to tell them whenever I find the time. Of course, I never find the time, and those stories go untold. But now that I'm confined to an apartment in the quiet old city of Nicosia, Cyprus, I've been making an effort to reach out and received plenty of messages myself. In fact, friends seem to be organizing more Skype parties than they would normally have in person. To betray isolation, many of us are being more social than ever, albeit virtually. Back on the American continent, in San Francisco, California, we meet Scott, a retired English teacher.
Hello, hi.
Hi, Manel, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing as well as can be expected during this lockdown.
So, my first question is, how are you socializing during the quarantine?
Well, I'm socializing like I think a lot of people are, doing that virtually with my friends who live all throughout the country. So we get in touch every week, every Friday, and we do a virtual happy hour. And during that time, we check in with each other, talk about how the week is going, have a few drinks, sometimes share some photos of past memories together, which is fun. And also, because we're doing that virtually, I have the opportunity to wear whatever I want to. So last Friday, I just had sunglasses and no shirt, and I pretended I was at the beach.
I am Manel, an intern with OnSpec, and like my friend Scott, I'm spending the quarantine period in San Francisco, where I normally study. A few days ago, Scott and I were chatting, and he mentioned something that made my heart melt. His best friend has a three-year-old daughter named Ellie, and she adores Scott. She calls him Uncle, and it's hard for her, as it is for most children, to understand why she can't see her friend anymore. So with the help of her mom, she recorded this for him.
Hi, Scott. I hope you're feeling good.
So Scott found a creative way to connect with her. He sang a song called Smile, something we could all do with in these challenging times.
This song is for Ellie. Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by.
Scott doesn't have kids of his own. He's single and says he enjoyed dating until the lockdown. Obviously, that's not possible anymore. Or is it?
Well, I ignored it for a while, for the first week or so, just because it didn't make much sense since we can't meet. And then I read about an idea. People are meeting for first dates on FaceTime or Skype or something like that. And so I tried it once with someone who actually lives in San Francisco, and we talked for about 30 minutes, and then we hung up. And then I realized that doing this online during FaceTime, like a first date, really helps save money.
Meeting people, looking for a relationship, sex, love, or all three. It's hard enough as it is. But imagine doing this without being able to leave your apartment. Sure, online dating is popular, but the idea is usually to connect online and then meet in person. So, what happens when you're not allowed to leave your home for weeks or even months?
Before the lockdown, I chat online with two or three girls just for fun. But since I've been stuck at home, I'm pretty sure I've talked to every girl in Tunisia. Ask any Tunisian man and he'll say the same. But it's not just us. Girls are bored too, so they're socializing online more than before as well.
That's Farouk, a 27-year-old who lives in Tunisia. Turns out, from North America to North Africa, dating is taking a similar trend.
So as I understand, you are using social media for dating more often during the quarantine. So how was it?
Yeah, before I'd only use social media sporadically to check the news and so on, but now I'm on it 20 hours a day, not just for dating, but also to keep up with my friends and pass the time. Before, I'd only meet girls in coffee shops, on the street, in bars and so on. I prefer dating in real life because I feel more comfortable. But now we don't have any other choice. The only way to date during quarantine is via social media. So we're discovering a new way of dating through Facebook, Instagram and Messenger. But when the pandemic is over, I think I'll get my life back in order and go back to meeting people in real life.
How many girls are you talking with during the confinement?
Well, I have 2,000 Facebook friends, and most of them are girls. I've been talking to pretty much every girl on my friends list, even those I don't know. And sometimes I ask if they would like to go on a real date when the coronavirus pandemic is over. But I'm not the only one making the approach. Girls also reach out of boredom. People are craving any social interaction.
Has online dating changed in any way the themes that you talk about, especially during the quarantine?
As I began learning how to cook during the lockdown, it became part of my main topics of discussion. I ask girls about food recipes. The good part is that they have good cooking tips, but I noticed that many girls are trying to show off their cooking skills. I'm just playing along to learn good recipes.
Hello?
Oh.
Hi, Angelica. How are you?
Is that you?
Angelica is a 79-year-old lady living in Cyprus. She's originally from Argentina, a former ballet dancer who flew to Europe as a teenager to take classes with Maurice Béjart, a famous choreographer. She's lived all over, performed across the Middle East, and has crazy stories from her travels in Syria, Iraq, Egypt, and Jordan. Now she's a widow and lives with her two cats in a little apartment on a quiet street. But she hasn't lost her incredible energy. She's hilarious. She has Parkinson's disease, but still dances, does yoga, Pilates, and whenever we meet up, we drink gin and tonic and laugh and discuss life in general. One of her favorite pastimes is making sexual innuendos to her neighbor, a young French guy, and nosily commenting on what time he comes home in the evening or how often he orders takeout. I checked in with her to see how she was dealing with the lack of social interaction.
Yes, I receive a lot of telephone calls from family in Argentina, in Spain, in Brazil, and from my family here that they are constantly contacting me, my daughter, my son in England, my daughter in England. Usually they call me on the messenger with a video or WhatsApp with a video. So I am quite busy during the day with these conversations and this, even at my young age. I'm looking after myself. I always do. I'm used to be alone, but one thing is to be alone and another thing is to be lonely, and I'm not lonely.
Your daughters and your son, do you feel that they've been calling more than usual since the confinement?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They are calling me almost every day. I just was talking with my daughter, Sus Natasha, in Oxford, and we were playing a game, how to write the names of countries with the letter of your name. That was quite entertaining.
You're really lucky, actually.
I think I'm very fortunate to have such a fantastic family, because my three kids are amazing. Not only because I brought them to be amazing, but they're showing me their appreciation, the love they feel for me, and that's very good and very uplifting. So psychologically, I feel quite okay.
Yeah, and it was your birthday recently.
The party that I was going to him, it was cancelled, of course.
So what did you do for your birthday?
I just enjoyed my day the best way I could. I received many, many messages. And actually, at 2 o'clock in the morning, Margot, I have to cut off the electricity of my telephone, because these Argentinian people, they don't understand that we have 6 hours difference. So when it's 8 o'clock in Buenos Aires, they were calling me and it was 2 o'clock here. So I have a very, very busy day.
Did you have some gin and tonic?
I cooked my lovely lunch. I drank half a bottle of wine. And then in the evening, my 2 gin tonics. And at 2 o'clock, I said, enough, Argentina. And I closed my telephone and I went to sleep.
I leave Angelica as she prepares to apply a homemade aloe vera face mask. I'm so happy she's doing fine. And I hope other families are also making a point of calling their seniors more often. We're the most vulnerable to coronavirus, but also to loneliness. Meanwhile, I think we can all learn from Angelica. Let's all raise a more or less metaphorical gin and tonic glass and vow to be, as my dear friend says, alone, but not lonely.
Thanks, Margot and Manel, for such an engaging and heartfelt funny story. God knows we all need to laugh more these days. This story was edited by me, produced by Oscar Duran, voiceover by Paul Raymond. Thanks for listening as we take you around the world with our journalists working hard to produce stories that bring you closer to the globe. If you have a local story that shows our shared experiences of the pandemic, maybe you'd like to write for our Reporter's Notebook blog. We welcome your feedback on our social media and or email at onspecpodcast@gmail.com. Stay healthy and sane. Till next time.